it's your first time, I'd like to welcome you all here. It's great to be able to worship God together. So I'm going to take a quick sleep. What an exciting day. Great stuff, Jared and Tamsin. That's awesome. Very excited about that. We have another basketball player in our midst, probably. But it is great to be together. It's a great privilege for me to be able to preach this morning. And we have been going through this theme these past couple of few Sundays, I guess, about the kingdom identity, kingdom ID. And we've been talking about the different ways that followers of Christ are described, or names that they're called, essentially, right? To talk about the different characteristics of those things. We've talked about being children of God. Last week in the East, we talked about being children of God. I know Chris in the West last week talked about being athletes, right, for God, and that were described as that, and about being followers of Christ, not being fans, but being followers, and all these other great things. And today we're going to continue the theme, and we're going to talk about being God's workers today. God's workers. But before we do that, before we open the Word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. We're so grateful just to be in your presence, to be able to worship you together with one another, Lord. Thank you so much just for the fact that we can be alive, that we can have a life to live, and that our lives have meaning. That because of Jesus, and as Rodney and Zoe reminded us, that we can be pure and blameless, holy because of Christ's sacrifice. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. Thank you for entrusting us with your word. I pray, Lord, that we can be great stewards of your word, that we can continue to share the gospel, Father, with everyone, that we can work hard for you because of what you have done for us. Father, I pray right now for the message. Lord, you be with me as I speak. Be with all of us. Please help your spirit to move powerfully amongst us as we look at your word. Please help your words not to speak through me and for me not to speak on my own. God, we love you. Thanks again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll talk about being God's workers. If you have a Bible, please go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a bit of context about the church in Corinth. We know that the church in Corinth, at this time, Paul had preached and set up the church in Acts 18. He preaches there and sets up the church in Corinth. And he stays there for quite a while, actually. Corinth was this very great business area next to the coast, and it was a very good place. And so Paul sets up a church there and stays there for a while, teaching, preaching. And then he goes away, and then he sort of gets notes and hears from the grapevine that the church in Corinth wasn't doing that great after he left. There was a lot of bad things, essentially, that were going on in the church, right? There was division over leadership. There were factions, there were cliques that were being created within the church. People were saying, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, and there was division, right? There was sexual immorality issues in the church. And there was just a lot of bad things that were going on in the church, and that's why Paul writes 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians as well to touch on that, and there's apparently a third letter as well out there maybe. But what we're going to read here is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if you remember this, last year we did a bit of a series on this this text about being builders, being expert builders for God. And so the context here, Paul is writing, he's sort of tackling this issue of division over church leadership, right? And so he's talking about that. So we'll pick it up there in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. So Paul writes here, he says, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers, in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And we'll stop there. It's a really, I don't know about you, but it's a pretty confronting passage of scripture. Okay, there's a lot of things going on there, and we'll unpack a few ideas here. But, you know, it's a great text. Paul sort of touches on a lot of these, like, kingdom IDs, if you will, right? These different identities. He says there, verse 5, that, you know, him and Apollos are servants. Verse 9, he says they are co-workers. And then referring to the church as a whole, he says that, you know, you are to the Corinth church, and to us for sure, that we are God's field and God's building, right? So he talks about all that. And verse 10, he says that he's a wise builder, right? So all these great IDs. And so we're going to focus there on verse 9. What Paul says there, that referring to him and Apollos, that he says that we, in the context of the scripture, we are co-workers in God's service, right? And that was such a very important statement, because especially given the context of the Corinthian church, that they were divided over, I follow Paul, he's my main leader. I follow Apollos, he's my main leader. I follow Jesus, he's my main leader, right? They had all this division, and Paul's trying to say, hey, we're nothing. Well, we're servants, but Apollos and I, we're co-workers. We are partners in the kingdom, in working in God's building. And so, if we use the logic, if he's a co-worker, if Apollos and Paul are co-workers, that means that they're workers, right? And then if they're workers, that means that there's work to do, right? And I think that's what we've got to, hopefully all of us know, that as Christians, as disciples, followers of Jesus, that there is work to be done. There is work to do in this world, building God's kingdom. And so this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about us as God's workers. And from the passage, I want to look at two aspects here of us as God's workers. And the two points that we'll talk about today, that as God's workers, number one, we will be rewarded for our labor. And number two, we will, as workers, our work will be tested. Right? We will be rewarded for our labor, and our work will be tested. So point number one here, we will be rewarded for our labor. Okay, so verse 7 to 8 here, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7 to 8, Paul writes, he says, "So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor." Right? So he says there that they will be rewarded according to their own labor. Now, I want to preface this very, very clearly. We are not talking here about working for our salvation. We are not talking about that. The Bible states very clearly in Ephesians 2 and many other scriptures that we cannot do anything to earn our salvation, to be saved, to be in heaven with Christ. That is not us. That is all because of Jesus and what he's done. As Rodney and Zoe reminded us, that it's because of Christ's sacrifice that we can be presented as pure, holy, and blameless. It's only because of Jesus. And it's because of that, what he's done, that is the reason that we work. Because of what Jesus has done. So we're not talking here about going to heaven and working for our salvation. This sort of applies, what I'm talking about really, sort of only applies if you already have come in and been in Christ and repented, been baptized, and got the promise of eternal life, right? So it seems like that's there, okay? And then we're talking now about for those who are followers of Christ, there are now rewards for what we do on earth, okay? And we'll explore this idea a little bit, but I wanted to preface that, make that very, very clear. Okay, and so Paul here, he's talking about building God's kingdom and building the building, right? And he says that some plant, some water, referring to, you know, him and Apollos, that he, you know, one plants, one waters. But even though ultimately God is making things grow, right? That's the most important thing. God is making his kingdom grow. God is doing all the work. That ultimately though, he doesn't say that the planters and waterers are like, don't have a purpose. He doesn't say that. He actually says, what? That they have one purpose, okay? So they actually have a reason. They are there, okay? And then he says that, this is the thing we'll explore, that each will be rewarded for their own labor. Each will be rewarded for their own labor. Okay, now this word, labor, probably appreciate my animations. Amen. Okay, that's fine. So this word labor is this word kopos. Does it have the little square? Yeah, anyway. So kopos, and the Greek word there, kopos, simply means intense labor united with trouble and toil. Okay? So, you know, sometimes when we think labor, we think, yeah, let's work hard, you know, I'm in the labor force, you know, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, we work hard, okay? But the Greek, it's such a loaded idea that it actually is this idea of working so hard that it actually troubles and toils a little bit. It's a very, very intense word. And in the Bible, it actually gets translated as a few words. It gets translated as labor. It gets translated as trouble, to be bothered, right? When Jesus, when the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume, you know, comes to him, and Jesus says, the disciples try and say, hey, to the woman, what are you doing? Jesus says, hey, why do you bother her, right? It's that idea of why are you bothering. It gets translated as being beaten and as well as hard work, okay? So it's a really loaded word, labor, kopos. And so this is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, hey, look, each planter, each waterer, all of us who are God's workers, who are in Christ, who are workers for God, that we will be rewarded individually for our kopos, for our hard work, for our labor. Okay, again, not working to get into heaven, working because we are disciples, right? That's what he's talking about here. And the Bible, and I think we know that the Bible talks a lot about this idea that one day, and we throw it around a lot, I'm guilty of this too, we throw it around, hey, all of us one day, we will stand before Christ. We all say that, right? We all stand before God one day, and we have to give account. And we throw that around, but for me, I don't actually think I've given that enough thought and let that really sober, like really let me think about that. That one day, we individually will all stand before God and have to give account for what we have done. That's pretty, I don't know what that makes you think. Anyway, Bible talks about this, right? Romans 14, verse 10 to 12, Paul writes, same guy, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? He says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And then he goes on later on, says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Okay? Not account for one another, for ourselves to God. Right? In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul writes again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we're going to give an account to God, right? And he goes on as well, right? There's this idea that we will all stand before God and to give account for the work that we have done as his workers. But then also, he talks about, or the Bible also talks about, receiving a reward, right? That for our labor, for our work that we do, that there will be a reward that God can give every single one of us for the work we've done, right? For what we read in verse 14 and 15, if what has been built survives, referring to the work that the workers do, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. In Revelation, written to the church in Thyatira, that then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will, this is Jesus talking, I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Okay, he's talking to a church there. Not to like non-followers of Jesus. He's talking to disciples, right? Yep. Revelation 22:12, this is at the very end of the Bible. Jesus again talking. He says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. Again, what they have done, work. Right? And then this one, this is Jesus again speaking in the Gospels, Matthew 16, 26 to 77. Jesus says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, right? This is the parallel of Luke 9, yet forfeit their soul, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and get this, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So there's a lot about what we do, the work that we do, right? And it's quite strong and quite intense. And again, I want to make this clear that I'm not talking here about salvation and working for our salvation. It's about the rewards that we get as disciples because we're coming into heaven, right? The rewards we can get once we're in heaven. And that our work here on earth accounts for that. We'll determine the rewards that we get in heaven. Okay, and you know, I was really, I don't know about you, I was really confused about all this as I was reading up on this, and I was doing a bit of study on it, and most commentators and scholars agree it's not The reward that is being talked about here is not talking about heaven. Okay? It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about what you get once you're in heaven, the rewards once you get into heaven. Okay? Because if you have a look there in verse 13 and 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians 3, the first one, it says, you know, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Okay? So it's not talking about salvation in heaven, because that's, we know the Bible says that heaven and eternal life is a gift from God. Romans 6:23, right? The gift of eternal life is it's completely freely given to us by God. But the rewards, that is based on the work that we do as Christians while we are here on earth. And I don't, maybe some of you are squirming. I was squirming as I was talking. I'm like, well, don't talk about works. It's like, you know, I don't talk about that. It's about grace. And amen. Yeah, and we'll look at that in a little bit as well. But it is about work. That as followers of God, that we are called to work hard for Him because of what He has done, because of what Jesus has done. And I think, again, the best way I heard it summed up a little bit was this principle. Some guy on YouTube who did seminary, he was good. He said, we are redeemed by His work, being God's work, but we are rewarded by our work. Okay, again, not about going to heaven. Rewarded for our work once we are in heaven. And so the question is, all right, what are the rewards? What, you know, and people debate what do the rewards mean? Some think levels of joy, some, I don't know. They talk about all these different things, what the rewards are. In the end, I was thinking about it, I didn't really care in the end. All I needed to know was simply that I will be rewarded. And we can all be rewarded for the work we do for God's kingdom while we are here on earth. That's right. And the fact that we have a reward that is simply, it's the gift of heaven, but then also we can have rewards on top of that based on the work that we do as God's workers, that should really motivate us. Yeah. That should really push us in a way that maybe you haven't thought about before. I know it really did convict me. Mm-hmm. Think about this. The question I think now begs the question, so, if we're rewarded according to our labor and our work, our toil, how hard do you work for the kingdom of God? How hard do you work when it comes to building the kingdom of God? Because we will be rewarded for the work that we do, the labor and the trouble that we go through, because it's hard. Living for God is a hard thing. We know that. But thank goodness that God says, hey, I know you, I'm giving you heaven here, but then also not just heaven, you can have rewards on top of that too, based on the work that you do here on earth as my disciples. That is such a motivating thing. And think about this, if tomorrow God was going to give you your reward based on the labor and the toil and the trouble that you have gone through for His kingdom, what would your rewards be like? A lot? A little? I don't know. I was thinking about it for myself, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know." Hopefully, a lot. I hope that. I hope all of us get a lot, you know. But it's a very, very sobering thought and question to ask ourselves: how hard, how much effort do we put into building God's kingdom? Because I know that if you're like me, I know that we work hard in all other things in our life. There's a lot of things in life that we work hard in, right? Our jobs. We spend hours and hours trying to build our careers to be successful. Right, we try and build financial security. We put in overtime and we work so hard to have this money. And then maybe in school you work so hard just to get that grade, to keep your WHAM up at above 80. Right, to have the highest average, higher than everyone in your class. And we work hard in these things, even things in our home like building things or renovations. We put in tireless amount of effort into those things. We trouble and we toil so hard in those things, which will be destroyed one day. Why do we put in so much effort into these things that we know one day when God comes back, those things mean nothing. Good on you. So what? You made more money than that other person. Well done. You had an average above 85. Well done. You had a really nice house that was there for a while. Good job. Right? I'm not trying to say those things are bad, but I'm trying. I think what I'm feeling is that we put more effort and work into those things instead of building God's kingdom. And you think, man, what? Why is that? Why do we do it? Why do we put so much work into other things than in God's kingdom? And I think it's because we want to live for here and now. We want to enjoy all the things that we're working towards. Which, ironically, when you work for something, you know, we invest in so many things, and in the end, You want to invest for things that long-term will be good for us. But if we work hard in the things here, in building things here, which are going to be destroyed anyway, seems a bit off, right? But when it comes to eternal rewards, the Bible says, and Jesus says in Matthew, hey, store up for yourselves not treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. And those treasures in heaven, what do you think? They just come because you believe, oh, God saved me, Jesus saved me, amen. Jesus did save you, amen. But the rewards don't come just from that. It depends on the work that we do for the kingdom. And I think that is such a humbling and sobering thought. Think about, when was the last time you worked hard to bring someone to church? When you toiled and you labored to bring someone to come to church and to study the Bible with them? When was the last time that you toiled to fight sin? To have a family devotional, to work on your marriage, to work on your family. When was the last time you toiled for those things? You might think, oh, it's so hard, you know, I've tried it, it doesn't work yet, and oh, I don't know, it's way too hard for me. Well, good. The word labor means to be troubled. So you need to be troubled in order to have the labor, to have the reward. But I think we all get soft on ourselves. I know because I get soft on myself. Oh, it's way too hard. It's all good. Right? But maybe you think, I don't have time to work hard for the kingdom. Well, Jesus tackles that too. Talks about the parable of the talents. He says, to one he gives one five, one two. Right? This idea of God gives us what we can handle. So if you're saying that you can't or we can't work hard for God, I don't think that's something you got to sort out. Because we can absolutely work hard for God's kingdom. Right? This motivation, you know, the world uses this, right? I mean, you think about in work, you have your salary if you have a job. Sorry, teens. But we also have what else to incentivize? Your bonuses. You have you can have these other things as well, right? You can just say, I'm happy with my salary. I'm happy with what I earn. But no. They work gives you these incentives to work hard. And that's what he's done. That's what Jesus... Isn't that amazing? That God knows that sometimes we need incentive. Even though heaven is not enough, sometimes. Seriously. Right? Heaven is not... So he says, their rewards too. And like, man, thank goodness. God knows us so well. So brothers and sisters, don't think it's selfish. It's not selfish. Because God gives that to us. He says, hey, each will be rewarded for their labor. There are rewards. But you got to work hard for your rewards. Okay? In heaven. So let's rack them up. Let's rack them up. Let's work hard. Let's inspire one another as a family. Let's push each other. Hey, you're working hard on that thing. What about for the kingdom? What are you doing to work for the kingdom of God? Let's be motivated by the rewards God gives us and will give us one day. Amen? All right, sorry, I got carried away on that one. All right, point number two here, that as workers, our work will be tested. Okay, our work will be tested. Now, this is really, really, this is cool too. So it's encouraging to know that for our labor, we will be rewarded. Our effort, how hard we work for the kingdom, that's there, okay? But Paul in this text as well, he says, you know, we need to also build carefully. Give thought to the way that we build God's kingdom. Right, in the context of what he's talking about. We have to give careful thought, right? Verse 10 to 11, Paul talks there. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be rewarded, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Whew, okay. So that's confronting for me. Yeah. To think that not only should we work hard for the kingdom as well, we have to work hard as workers for God, but that our work, the things that we do to build God's kingdom, will be tested. I was like, oh my gosh, what does that even mean? Like, to be tested by God? How does that even work, right? You know, he uses this idea of it will be tested by fire. And if you're familiar with it, you know, they did it back in, you know, ancient times, but also now. If you have gold or any sort of precious metal and you want to make sure it's the most purest form of that, what do? Yeah, stick it in some fire, right? And all the impurities within that material or the metal will disappear, and then you'll get the purest form of what it is, okay? And so it seems like, this is what Paul says here, that the fire, that the work that we do will be revealed and tested. The fire will test the quality of each person's work, he says. Now, again, in my mind, I was like, hold on, what does that all mean? Right? What's the work? Well, of course, the work is building the kingdom. Right? That's what it's referring to. The way that we share our faith, the way we bring people to Christ, the way that we serve, the way that we love others, all those things are building the kingdom of God. So in some sense, those things will be tested. Now, again, I was thinking, how does that even work? How does God test these things? And I realized, guess what? I don't know. And a lot of people don't know too. I was reading all of it. People don't know. Some people think, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of things that people think. Okay? But in the end, if you simplify it, all we have to think about is the principle and the reality that our works, the things that we do for God, will one day be put in front of him and he will test it with fire. We're like, oh man. And so when I started thinking about that for themselves, I just simply thought, rather than getting carried away with all this stuff, I thought, well, what does that mean now for my life? If my work that I do for God's kingdom is going to be put before God and he's going to test it with fire, what does that mean? Well, as I was reflecting and thinking, I just thought it means that I want to do the best that I can in everything that I do for God's kingdom. The very best that I can. Because if it's going to be put before God, I want to make sure that it's the best. I don't want to give him some sort of half-hearted thing that I've done and go, oh, right? Sorry, God. I don't want that. Right? There's this incredible text in 2 Timothy 2. Right? Paul writes this again. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. A worker who does not want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of my work. Right? Maybe you've experienced that in your life before where you've had to do a piece of, like a report or an assignment or something, and you have to give it to your boss or to your teacher. Right? And hopefully you do a good job with that. Amen. But I was thinking about for myself, man, when I was in year 12, okay? When I was in year 12, I'm running out of time, but I remember I was really bad at English. English is my second language, and it's not. Sorry. It's not. My grades probably showed that anyway. But I was very much not good at essay writing and all those things. I was really bad at it, you know. And I was like, my teacher in like year 12, she said, hey, to the whole class, if you guys want input on your essay writing for the end of year exams, write up some essays for me, bring it to me, and I can give you input on it, right? And of course, she told us that at the start of the year, and guess when Aaron did it? Whoa, what? No, okay. Yeah, I did it like term three, like now, right? And exams are in a term, okay? And so, anyway, I got to doing it, and I just said, okay, I finally forced myself to write a couple of essays, and they were terrible. Like, I knew it. I didn't do English well, okay? I didn't write essays well, but I knew how bad it was. Like, that's how bad it was, okay? But I was like, oh, you know what? My teacher will give me input on it, so that's what it's for. But if I want to get good input, I should do it probably really good. But I just thought, nah, anyway. So I gave it to my teacher, but as I went to my teacher and gave it to her, I was like so embarrassed. I was like, thank goodness she's not going to mark this in front of me, like, and read it in front of me, because she'd probably look at me and go, can't even read your writing, boy. But I was ashamed. I was ashamed of my work. And man, it doesn't matter, English, I worked hard and... Anyway, God's good. But that feeling, realizing that one, you don't want to have that feeling. When God looks at the things that you've done for him. You don't want that ashamed feeling, do you? I don't. Now, I know there's things I'm ashamed of that God's going to probably be like, Aaron, what is this? And I'm like, ah, I don't know. But I don't want a lot of those things. Right? But what does that mean? That means that I think, all of us, realizing the reality that one day God is going to look over and assess, in some sense, right, test, the word is test, our things that we've done for him in this kingdom, we have to work to the very best of our ability to make sure those things are the best they can be. When it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to serving other people in the kingdom, when it comes to helping those that are in need, when it comes to loving others, when it comes to giving financially, when it comes to giving in any sort of way, do you do that to the best of your ability? Because you're going to have to give an account for that. As I will. And so I think, brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we do everything that we can to the best of our ability for God. That we can stand before God and say, hey, Father, I'm not ashamed of what I've done. Because I've done the best that I can for you. And he'll say, smile and amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. Is that what you want as well? Let's not do things half-heartedly. And wrapping up here, I think, I don't know how you're feeling about all this. I remember when, as I was preparing it, I was like pretty scared, to be honest. I was sharing with Esther in the car as well. I was like, oh man, it's a pretty scary idea to think the things that we do, because we don't like to talk about works. Okay? We don't like to talk about works, right? Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, right? That's the scripture that everyone says, hey, it's not works that saves us, which is true, okay? Works do not save us. What does it say? For it is by grace you have been saved, right? Not by works, so that no one can boast. But then what does the rest of that passage say? I'm going to read it to you. Okay, Ephesians 2. I don't want to misquote this. Uncle Peter said, I don't want to miss. Yeah, yeah. Right? Ephesians chapter 2. Wrapping up here. Ephesians chapter 2, okay, verse 8. Paul writes, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And that's where everyone stops, right? But then what does the rest of it say? Paul says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to work hard, which God, by the way, prepared in advance for us to do. So yeah, quote, for it is great, but by grace you have been saved. But you know what Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10? You know what he says? I'll read it for you right now too. He says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. And then he says, no, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the end, we can work as hard as we want. Realize how we'll be rewarded, all these things. But the only reason we have the privilege and the honor to be rewarded one day for the work we do, to have God, the privilege and honor for God to look at the things that we have done for him, is only because of Christ. Only because of Jesus. Paul says in both those scriptures, he starts off talking about grace. That is, by God's grace I am who I am. And that's why I work hard. And when he says the grace, it's not I that work hard, it's the grace working hard in me. Do you think that means he's just like, oh yeah, grace, just keep working here, you know? That's not what he means. He says I think he means the grace is motivating him, pushing him. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, taking yours and my sin away. That because of that, what he has done, 2 Corinthians 5, that we now live and we're compelled by God's love to live for him, 1 Peter 2. To work hard for him because of the love that he's given us. Brothers and sisters, let's be people. Let's be workers for God. Amen. Let's work hard. Know one day that our work will be rewarded. That it's not in vain. And that God will test our work. So let's do it to the very best of our ability. But remember that it's only because of Christ that we can be God's workers in the first place. Thank you guys so much. Amen. God be glory. Let's all stand. Sing one final song.